The Old Testament reading for today, Pentecost Sunday, is from Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning of the first verse. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak to in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as of yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the epistle lesson from the book of Acts. Some days seem to matter more than other days. For instance, June 6, 1944 is D-Day, or November 22, 1963, the assassination of JFK, or July 21st of 69, when Neil Armstrong took the first step on the moon at a date I better remember is June 4th, 1988, when Susan and I got married. Bad things happen when I forget. But Pentecost is one of those days that we should mark as important. Pentecost could not have happened without ascension. Paul writes in Philippians 2, 8-11, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Pentecost is about God revealing his plan to us. Verses 1 to 4 of the lesson says, "Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." As I said, Pentecost Sunday, which is today, of course, is the day that God reveals his plan to us. He shows us that there's a new chapter beginning on how he's going to deal with us and the world as a whole. It's a day when the Holy Spirit would come into the world in a way he had never previously done. Jesus, and by the way, Jesus already foretold his coming back in John 7. It says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living waters.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." The events of Acts chapter 2 take place after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And the disciples were told, "Wait in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere else until you're given the Holy Spirit." So now we're looking at it's 40 days after Easter. And the Holy Spirit comes in great power. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in each and every one of us today. He didn't just withdraw his presence after Pentecost. He lives with each believer. Romans 8, 9, and 10 says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Pentecost was a great demonstration of God's power. Listen again to verses 2 and 3. "And suddenly there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." Sometimes we think the disciples started the church. Like Peter made a motion to start a church, James seconded it, they voted, it was 10-2, the Christian church was started. That's not the way the Christian church started. It was God himself who started it. But why the tongues of fire? Simply put, they needed to see a physical presence of the Holy Spirit. It was sure evidence of his power and his presence. It's compelling evidence he was there. The Holy Spirit is portrayed a couple of ways in Scripture. One of the ways is as a dove. John the Baptist said, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down at Jesus' baptism as a dove to show us his strength. He has a gentle, peaceful nature. The dove is a good symbol to portray that message. But here, God is portrayed as wind and fire. Why the wind? Wind is independent. You can't control the wind. It is also invisible. The Holy Spirit's also invisible. He works behind the scenes. We don't see him today presently in tongues of fire over people's head. He works behind the scenes. He's also powerful, and he shows that in the mighty rushing wind. But why the fire then? Well, fire burns out the iniquities in our lives. It also points to the wrongdoings that we have done. Fire is also light. Light to illuminate a room. Years ago, when I was young, my father took me to the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky, which, big long hike through the caves, but they get to one room, a rather large room or part of a cavern, and they turn off all the lights. And if you've ever had that experience, that is true pitch blackness. You can see nothing. Then the tour guide lights one single match and lights up the entire cavern. One small fire could light the entire cavern. The Spirit of God is meant to be seen by all. We need the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look what the Holy Spirit had to work with back in Acts chapter 2. He had fishermen, ex-prostitutes, tax collectors, religious leaders who had strayed from the official teachings of the synagogue, and he forms them into his own church. I kind of like that he didn't only go after the smartest and the best, that he went after all people. The wind and fire are great demonstrations of God's power. Luke says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The reason they had to speak in various languages is that Jerusalem was full at this time of Jews from around the world. If you'd actually sit down with an ancient world map and plot out all the places that Randy so well read, didn't you all just cringe and go, I'm glad I'm not reading today? Yeah. But you would find out that if you did that, it would form a ring around the entire Roman Empire. The idea was everybody needed to hear the message of Jesus, not just a select few. Now, our Pentecostal brothers get things confused, especially when it comes to the speaking in tongues. They say that it's required to prove that you are saved. The real message or the real lesson to be learned from the speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2 is this, that God wants everyone to hear his message. Every nation, every tribe, every people. Pentecost matters because it's a great demonstration of his power. It says in Acts chapter 2 that as a result of Peter's sermon, 3,000 were added to the group of believers. Now that's a powerful sermon. I wonder if I got on a soapbox in downtown Indy with a loudspeaker, if I could get 3,000 converts. I'd probably get mugged. But it says in Acts chapter 2, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mockingly said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. Invariably, when God works, there are skeptics, like in Book of Acts, they're speaking in tongues, therefore they must be drunk. Now, I've been known to have a couple of beers every now and again. I have yet to speak in tongues. Actually, I have trouble speaking. So to accuse them of being drunk is just mocking what God can do. But then Peter points out what the prophet Joel had to say. And it came to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. Peter quotes Joel to show that a prophecy of the Lord had been fulfilled. When God says something's going to happen, we can literally take it to the bank because it will happen in His time. That's why we can trust God's word entirely, because He has always kept His promises to us. Verse 21 had a saving message. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are other places in Scripture that say the same thing. The very famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or from 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. As I said, Acts chapter 2:21 says, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a message our world desperately needs. It needed it 2,000 years ago at the first Pentecost, and it needs it again. God literally wants us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people, regardless of their background or what they have done in their past. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.